hope you have your phone with it, because I'm going to have you use it here in a moment. If you don't have a phone, it's okay. We'll have you close to someone, hopefully, that does. Going to read a few verses here, and I want to just have us think about something that I think is important for all of us, and especially young people. James, the first chapter, I want to read just a few verses here. James 1 and 22. Let me just put this up here for a moment. I thought about having some of you youth help me read, but let me read a few verses here. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty, continueth therein, he being not forgetful here, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Now I'd like us to think about the 23rd verse here. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like what? He's likened here to a man or a woman beholding or viewing his natural face in a glass. Or that word means mirror. I'd like to talk to you a little bit tonight about the man, or we could say the woman, the person, the man in the mirror. The man in the mirror. I have an object here. See if you guys can recognize what this object is here. My brother Steve had me help me with this. Thank you, Brother Steve. Anyone know what this is?
What?
Excellent. It's a beautiful whiteboard. That's correct. With a mirror in front of it. And they say that the average female looks at a mirror about 8 times a day. Now, that's just what I read about females. I don't know about males. Maybe it's more. But about 8 times a day. I want us to think a little bit about this. There's a lot of interesting facts about mirrors. But what happens when you stare at a mirror? Staring into a mirror for several minutes, you may notice your face actually begins to distort. It could even morph into something downright scary. Seeing monsters in mirrors has long been an effective horror movie device and grip for urban legends and all kinds of things. There's lots of interesting facts about mirrors, but I would like you all to do something right now for me. Would you take your phone out? Because did you know that a phone can be used as a mirror? Of course, you knew that, right? I see my high school students all the time with their phone like this, and all kinds of stuff, checking themselves out. So I want you to do something for me. If you don't have a smartphone, it's okay. Get partnered up with someone or get close to the next person next to you. But go ahead and turn that camera on and flip it around right at you, please. Let that mirror look at you for a minute. Now, what I'd like to do, I was going to have you partner up, but you're all sitting together for the most part. If you're in a group of like 3, you can take turns. But what I'd like to have, in fact, let me have Caden and Brother McClain come here real fast. You're going to demonstrate this. So take out your camera, flip it around. Now I want Caden to look at the image in the mirror. And say one positive comment about what you see in the mirror.
That's a nice background.
Hey, bad example. Maybe I should call up someone else. All right.
Nice smile.
You got a nice smile. Yeah, I agree with that. It's a nice smile. All right, same thing. Do the same thing for Caden. Here you go.
You have a nice...
Alright, that's a good looking haircut. Is that a new haircut since we've been here?
Yes.
Excellent. Who cut it? Okay, I don't know. Gentlemen, you can sit down. Thanks so much. So just take a moment, and if you're uncomfortable doing this, get comfortable with it. But look in your neighbor's phone and just give them a nice little friendly compliment. Ready, set, go. If there's 3 of you, just take turns. Make sure it's a positive comment. A compliment. All right, come back in 10, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. All right, does anyone want to share how that made you feel? Go ahead, speak up real loud. How'd that make you feel?
Awkward.
Awkward, okay. All right, that's fair. Anyone else? I see a lot of smiles, so it couldn't have been that bad. Aubrey's giving me a thumbs up. Okay, good. Made you feel pretty good. What I'm getting at tonight is the person that we can control and have the most control over, the person that affects who we are, what we do, what we accomplish, how we feel about ourselves, is that person staring back at us in the mirror. And this is also the person that we should spend the most time on as individuals. As we're traveling this life and as we're navigating through our decisions in college and high school, and then hopefully someday maybe into marriage and a place to live and all of this, it's the person staring back at us in the mirror that has the greatest influence in what we do and what we become. It's ourself, right? Many times in life we look around and we're discontent because we look at this one, what they have, and we look at that one, and then we start to point fingers and say it's because of that, it's because of this. But really, when it comes down to young people, everything that we become, everything that we do, yes, it's God. It's God in us. But it's the person in the mirror. It's what we're doing ourselves. And so I want us to think about this tonight. Every decision we make, everywhere we go, think about yourself in terms of, is this the right decision? How is this going to affect me? How is this going to affect my relationship with God? James says this, if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks into that glass or a mirror, and we'll get to what it is here, but he's like that person that looks in the mirror and forgets what he saw and just goes his way. It'd be similar to like we go look in the mirror, we see ketchup all over our face, and we're like, oh well, and just walk away. Same thing spiritually. When we sit in church service, and we hear messages, and we ourselves get into the Bible, and we read God's Word, and God points out things in our lives, and you guys are all sharp, you're brilliant, you've sat under truth, many of you all your life, and God shows you things, this is the danger of God showing us, oh well, we walk away, we don't need to do anything about it. And then that person in the mirror suddenly becomes discouraged, becomes downcast and disheartened and all these things because you're not working on the person staring back at you in the mirror. Does that make sense? I want us to think tonight about working on the person or the man in the mirror. The most important question we can ask ourselves is you know, we can look in the mirror and we can say, oh, I look pretty good. And then we have our friend, our partner, look in the mirror and, you know, I didn't want to go there, but we could have them say, okay, tell me one thing that needs fixed. Or one thing that needs to be worked on. But the most important person that we should matter, that should matter the most in our life, that the most important individual, if you will, spirit, is God, right? What does God think about us? And the Bible says that the Lord doesn't see as man seeth. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. The reality is that all of us are viewed by friends and acquaintances in a certain way. When Nolan walks in, you may have a thought, wow, you know, he's a nice kid. He's fun to be around. Immediately. It's what you see. It's that image, right? And when, I'm just using some random example, when Adam walks in, you might say, oh, there's that guy that always tells those fun, scary stories. His image immediately brings something to mind, right? So it does matter. It matters what we do with this man in the mirror because our influence is everywhere we go. The Bible says that ye are epistles known, or your letters, you're known and read of all men. That's why we're instructed to look into the mirror of God's word. Our lives are affecting others' lives. And young people, your lives are affecting other lives. I was teasing Whitney here a minute ago, but it's very true. If you can get a leader, someone that kids look to as a leader, to do certain things, pretty soon you'll see a whole lot of followers. And I've learned this in education too. If you get into some kind of activity that maybe the kids will say, oh, that's stupid. But if you get one of the leaders going into that activity and acting like it's cool, pretty soon there's several of them that'll jump in there and they'll kind of follow along. See, Whitney, you were a leader, and look at all of a sudden this table's full up here. So the point is that we're viewed everywhere we're going, where our image is so important. So I want to encourage you guys tonight that when you go and look at this mirror, not just to look on the outward appearance, well, my hair's a little out of sorts, but I want us to think tonight about the heart. And what I'm getting at is our attitudes, our decisions. When you go and look at that mirror, at the end of the day, are you satisfied with who you are, your decisions you're making, where you're going? We can live in such a way that, oh, there's always things we want to work on. But we can live in such a way that we can be satisfied with who we are. We can be, you know, I believe we as Christians should walk around with a pleasant countenance, happy, right? I've often told people, you know, I work as an elective teacher. People choose to be in my class. They're not forced to be in band or orchestra. Some they choose to be. And it's my job to make it enjoyable. If I come into class and I'm, okay, take out your trombone, let's turn over and play this song here, and I'll be in my office drinking my cup of coffee, and you guys just get to rehearsal on your own. How long would that go on? How many students would I have that want to play in band, right? It's important how we act, how we carry ourselves. And it's possible to be satisfied with the person in the mirror if you'll obey God and if you'll work on your attitudes and work on that individual such that you can carry yourself in a pretty positive manner all the time. Do we have hard places? Do we have difficult situations? Yeah, you get into more difficult things the older you get. But we don't walk around with those feelings all the time, just downcast and downtrodden, because we realize that God can take care of those things. So I want to encourage you young people now, in your youth, you may be interested in courtship, which I hope you are, and interested in marriage. And those things are always wonderful, and they're great. But the most important person that you need to work on, the most important thing you need to work on, is the man in the mirror. The person staring back at you. It's yourself. God wants to work with you. He wants to develop you. He wants to make you better and more beautiful. And the Bible lets us know that glass is the word of God. If we go back to James, the first chapter, it says, but be doers of the word. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, over and over we find that expression, the word, the word. What is the glass or the mirror that we, as Christians, should be looking into? Go ahead, say it loud. The Bible. That's what James is talking about. This is a natural mirror. We fix our outside, right? But the heart isn't fixed with this. It's with this. And so I want to encourage you young people to get in the Bible and then work on yourself. What is the purpose of looking into a mirror? Let's get some answers, just random answers. Why would you go to a mirror to look into a mirror? Someone say it real loud. What's that?
You said make sure you look all right.
To make sure you look all right. Okay, what else? Why else? Why else would you go look at a mirror? What if someone else tells you there's something on you? You might go look at a mirror, right? Why else? Are we in the habit at all of looking in a mirror? Does anyone have a routine like I do? You know, you get cleaned up, showered, or whatever, and then you look in a mirror to fix your hair or whatever. There's a routine, right? There's things that we do. We look into a mirror every day because we need to, right? Now, when do we look into a mirror? We often look into a mirror just prior to meeting the public and interacting with people, right? We use a mirror as a tool to help us interact with people and navigate through life. We look in a mirror to check ourselves out, right? I don't look in a mirror to check out Kaden. Now, unless you're trying to use one of these numbers where you're holding it out trying to check out the person behind you or something. But you look in a mirror to check yourself out. And again, it's that person that I want to focus on tonight. It's that man or that woman in the mirror. That's what you can control. People get in situations and, well, this one's not doing this and this one's not doing that. And they get all frustrated. We can't control what others are going to do and not do. But what we can control is the person in the mirror, our attitude. You may be treated wrongly, and people may be mean to you, and certainly I'm sure we've all been there, and you can't change that. But you can change how you're going to react to it and how you're going to act about it. We look into a mirror with the intent and willingness to fix what needs fixing. I don't know of anyone that goes over to a mirror and looks in the mirror and sees, let's catch up again, all over the face and goes, oh, well, you look in the mirror to fix something. And that's the same way with God's Word. We look in God's Word, we don't look at it and go, oh, well, he's telling me to fix that, but I don't want to fix it. No, you look with the intent to fix. And so I want to encourage you all to do that as well. We need to look at God's Word with the same mindset. And as we read God's Word, we should be willing to fix what needs fixing. This mirror only reflects my image when I look into it. No one else's image. The same is true when we look in God's Word. We should look at it with an open heart and let it search us and show us our true condition. All right, a little bit more about a mirror. Now, in this scripture text in James, James talks about some behavior or some conduct. Let's just hurriedly talk about a little bit of this. Just prior to this, James talks about our behavior. Let me read a few verses. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of the naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. God could be telling you tonight, as you view yourself in the mirror, that there are some behaviors that need change. Let's think about behavior, because that affects all of us, our conduct. The way in which we act, especially, the definition says, especially towards others. Someone said this, be a good listener. Your ears will never get you in trouble. See, James said, be swift to hear, slow to speak. You ever thought of that? Your ears will never get you in trouble. What gets us in trouble? Our mouth. Right. He said, understand this, my beloved brethren. Let every man be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to take offense. Isn't that good? That's in the Amplified Bible. And to get angry. Slow. We're talking a little bit about here as we look in the mirror, God's Word. We look in this mirror here. We want to consider our behavior tonight. Then James goes on to tell us what we need to get rid of to avoid being stirred to man's wrath. In essence, anything that makes us possess attitudes and spirits that are unlike God, we need to cast them aside. He talks about superfluity. I don't know of any of us that walk around and say, that's superfluous, or that's superfluity. It's a word we don't hear very often, but it means unnecessary, excess, luxurious living habits or desires. These things get in the way of our service to God. So James said, get rid of them. Now, we must be honest with ourselves when it comes to dealing with those things that are near and dear to our heart, our hobbies, our interests, the things that are revealed. Did you know that your social media posts, your, quote, friends, your likes, reveal the man in the mirror? Did you know that? I'm sure you did. They sure show exactly who you are, the real you, and act as a mirror into your soul. If you want to find out information about someone, all you have to do is go to their social media. Jobs Today, I heard one of my associate principals, we just interviewed for a choir position in our high school. And she said, oh yeah, I was online doing some research about this one and found some YouTube videos and this and this and that. Your bosses will do this. And it's so important that you'll reveal this man. See, we can come in the Church of God here and we kind of know how to act and how to dress, which we should. But how does this person act when you're out here in the community? How does that person act when you're at school? It's so important, young people. The Church of God is not just right here, what we do right here. We take God with us everywhere we go. And if we want God to be with us, we have to act right everywhere we go. So we got to be honest with the man in the glass or the man in the mirror. Let's think about something else. When we look at a mirror, there might be some things we need to put on. Maybe we need to, you know, get dressed and all these things. In Colossians 3 and 12, it says, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. When we look at the man in the mirror, God may tell us that we need to be more merciful. We need to be kinder, more humble, meeker, more long-suffering. Let me give you some fun facts about mirrors. Did you know the first mirrors used by humans were most likely tools of dark, still water? Now, why would the water need to be still? Anyone know? Yes. You can both say it. Say it loud.
If it's rippling, it'll cause it to spurt.
Very good. If it's, I like the way you said that. If it's rippling, it'll cause a distorted view. Boy, that's profound. In other words, if our life is not at rest, if we're not at peace with God, if our life is turbulent, our view of the world will be distorted. And that's what the first mirrors were. Let me read it again here. They were pools of dark still or calm water, collected in a primitive vessel of some sort. Isn't that good? If we want God's image to be reflected in our life, we're going to have to be at peace with Him, right? A pond only reflects an image when it's still. To reflect God's image, our soul must be still. Just like Bibles, mirrors come in different shapes and sizes. There's pocket mirrors. There are pocket Bibles too, of course. There are mirrors almost every place you go, and the same is true about Bibles. Teenagers, you guys here, some are maybe in their 20s, but you guys have mirrors on your phones now. There's mirrors everywhere. I like to tell my high school students this. Believe it or not, Mr. Stegmaier didn't have a phone until he was out of high school. I know, some of your jaws are dropping now. I didn't have a phone until I was out of high school. You guys, many of you don't know a world without cell phones, do you? But cell phones are a relatively modern invention, newer invention. All right, mirrors. Let's think about this a little bit more. How often do you look at a physical mirror? I gave you a stat when I started that females, women generally look at a mirror. This is just a stat I found about 8 times a day. But how many times do you look into a mirror? Now, James said we need to look into this mirror. So if we're looking at this mirror about 8 or more times a day, how often are we looking at this mirror? I'm not saying I look 8 times a day, but we certainly should try to get in this mirror every day, shouldn't we? The Bible says we need to get in here and examine ourselves. And then James goes on to say there's a deceptive part of this. He said, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self or deceiving yourself. Young people, you're raised. Many of you have been here all your life. You've got tremendous head knowledge. That's not the danger, the deception here. You got the knowledge. The deception is that just the knowledge is sufficient. I know what the truth is. I'm doing fine. The reality is, are you living everything that you know? See, James said, not just hearers only, but doers of the word. So I want to challenge you tonight, as you're looking in this mirror, and as you're reading God's word, and as you're in church, to listen and obey everything God's telling you to do. Be honest with yourself. Be honest with the man in the mirror. When God shows you something, ooh, that's me. I need to fix that. Do it. Because James says when you do that, you'll be blessed in your deed. Now also in this scripture passage, we find the key to satisfaction in life. Satisfaction in life pursued all of God's people is found here. When it comes to success in life and success in our walk with God, no one is more responsible for our future outcomes than the man in the mirror. It's so true. You know, in working with people and young people and so, in talking with different ones, I've seen some real success stories come from some very troubled homes. And yes, it affects them. And I believe our upbringing is so important. But they have taken this sort of lesson to heart, and they've run with it, and they've dug in, and they've worked on themselves. There's only so much we can control, right? We can't control who our parents are, and some of you maybe come from difficult homes. You can't control that. That's it. God, just the way you're made, and God placed you there. But what you can control is what you're doing with yourself right now. If college is in your future, I encourage you to go. I don't say it's for everyone, but if God's leading you that way, I think it's a great way to go. Live at home as long as you can, but work on the man in the mirror, because when you do that, James lets us know that that's one of the keys to being satisfied with yourself, being happy with yourself. Also, we find that the greatest enemy is not out here, or this person that's attacking you, this one that's saying not bad things about you, but really the greatest enemy that we have is the man staring back at us in the mirror. Now I'm going to read a poem and then I'm going to close here, but there's a poem that says "The Guy in the Glass," or it's often entitled "The Man in the Glass," and it says this: "When you get what you want in your struggle for self, and the world makes you king for a day, then go to the mirror, look at yourself, and see what that guy has to say. For it isn't your father or mother or wife whose judgment upon you must pass. The feller whose verdict counts most in your life is the guy staring back at you, or back from the glass. He's the feller to please, never mind all the rest, for he's with you clear up to the end. And you've passed your most dangerous, difficult test if the guy in the glass is your friend. You may be like Jack Horner and chisel a plum and think you're a wonderful guy, but the man in the glass says you're only a bum if you can't stare at him or look at him straight in the eye. You can fool the whole world down to the pathway of years and get pats on the back as you pass, but your final reward will be heartaches and tears if you cheated the guy in the glass." So I want you to think about the man in the glass tonight. Being raised in the church of God, having the unique privilege of sitting under the truth, does not guarantee you're going to make heaven someday if you've cheated the man in the glass. You do not have to cheat the man or woman in the glass you look at every day if you'll fix what God reveals to you needs fixing. You'll notice there in James, he moves from doers of the word to doers of the work. There's a reason for that. To fix what God reveals to us is going to take some work. He goes from verse 22, doers of the word, verse 25, to doers of the work. What God reveals to us, it's going to take some work. So I ask you, and I'm just going to close here in about a minute or two, but when you look in the mirror, what is that mirror telling you at the end of a day? No one else is around. You glance at the mirror. What is that mirror telling you? What does it say about your life? What is it telling you? James said we need to be not a hearer only, but a doer. Just as we fix things here, God's going to reveal things here that we need to be fixed. And so I want you to think about your behavior, about your attitude. I mean, everything I've been around this week's been awesome. I love coming back here. I love working with young people and seeing you sing and be active in church and work in the dining hall and interact. You're all fun to be around. But there might be places when you're off and away and you're out of school or you're out in the community where there's behaviors, there's attitudes, there's your conduct that God wants to work with you on. Now, I've got a closing task for all of us to do. What I'd like you to do, if you have your phone still, if you don't have a phone, you can just make some mental notes. But I want you to go to your notes in your phone. Just do this for me, if you would. Go to the notes in your phone. I want you to write down two things that you want to work on. One spiritual and one physical. Now, I put physical in there for this reason. Do you know that eating and activity, what you eat and your activity affects how you feel about yourself? It does. Even just getting out and going on a walk. Have you ever heard of writer's block? It happens to me. I've done a lot of writing. I do a lot of writing. I'll get up from my desk. I'll even write emails. In fact, let me give you a little trick. If you get an email, and maybe it's one that's a little bit harder to deal with, don't respond immediately. Bad decision. Get up and walk around, marinate on it for a while, think about it for a while, weigh your words, and then sit down and write. So I put that in there. So what I'd like you to do is put two things down. One thing spiritually, maybe God's talked to you about it. No, don't show anyone. This is totally personal, private. And again, if you don't have a phone, just take a mental note of this. But I want you to think about some action items here. What are some things that you can do to help the man in the mirror? This is for you. Okay, one physical and one spiritual. I'm not up here to say that you have to eat a certain way and have to do all that. That's not it at all. But I'm just encouraging you. It could be get out and take a walk. Just that little walk each day. Maybe it is to not eat 10 Twinkies every night. Because it will affect how you feel about that man in the mirror. So one thing physical, one thing spiritual. And then I want you all to work on this. It could be that spiritual thing. Could be God telling you that I want you to be a little kinder, a little more long-suffering. I want you to be a little more patient. I want you to be a little bit more of this, a little more of that. It's up to you. But then I want you guys to work on it. All right.